Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walton. Corrine, take it away.
Hi, and good morning, everybody. It is springtime, and I've been having a lot of fun planting and transplanting flowers and plants in our yard. I enjoy them so much, and I have noticed, maybe you have too, a lot of people are getting into farming their own, having their own backyard little mini farms. And we've got corn growing here and strawberries and squash, and it's kind of exciting. It's taught me some patience, and I really enjoy it. And along with doing this, a lot of inspiration and new ideas come to me. And actually the inspiration for this week's topic. And I'd like to make a brief shout out to Marie Waldrop. She's a soul sister who also enjoys flowers as much as I do. Much love to you, Marie. So let's get started. Now that we know and have established that our thoughts are actually constructing our human experience, it's really crucial to watch our thought life. And we can't change anything with any sort of permanence by changing the world outside of ourselves. It would be the same as pulling out a weed by its leaves, but leaving the root there. It's going to reappear, probably worse than before, because it's there for a reason. It's there for healing, that the works of God may be made manifest. The cool part is that we don't have to go anywhere or convince anybody or change anything outside of ourselves or move someplace. The change that has to occur takes place within our thought life, and that then is going to change and manifest itself in the human experience. So if sinful and fearful thoughts produce sickness, disease, and mental ailments, what sort of thoughts do we need to think upon? Well, truth thoughts, thoughts of a loving God, our loving Creator, and who we are as the offspring of divine love, divine mind, spirit, soul, principle, and life. As soon as we try to turn our thoughts upward, well, guess who's rattled and tries to quash those thoughts? Like a hungry chicken looking for new grass to eat, the first sight of new growth and blam, it's eaten up. You might get discouraged or get distracted, and you'll be challenged right off the bat, and a lot of people quit. But the key is to cultivate a harvest. And to do that, it's to first sow good seed, then tend to the new growth and protect it, to nurture it, and then reap the benefits of the harvest. So the first step is sowing. And to sow means to plant. Have you heard that saying, as the sowing, the reaping? It means that whatever you plant is what is produced and grows. So in terms of our thought life, whatever types of thoughts we accept and allow to take root dictate what kind of experiences we're going to end up having. Well, we go to church and we're fed the word by loving pastors, teachers, church leaders. And perhaps you do your own work during the week. Maybe you listen to lectures or read books or other scriptural material. So there's no real shortage of good seed. It is all around us, and it's available to anybody who wants it. So the issue isn't with the seed itself. It's the soil that it's paired with. And the soil in this example is your consciousness. I want to share with you a very valuable parable given to us by the Master Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, we read, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And it goes on to read, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So Jesus is explaining to the disciples and listeners that those who have no knowledge about God's word, maybe they've never been to church, they have atheist parents, they've been scorned by church clergymen, these individuals may hear the word of God and it simply falls away and never enters in or takes root in their thought life because of either ignorance or their immediate rejection of it. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here, Jesus is explaining that there are those of us who hear the word, and we accept it for a time. We might think on it. It makes us feel good or temporarily comforted, or may make us feel like we're part of something special. But at the first sign of trouble or temptation, we run away from the word, completely dismiss what we learned or heard, and we return to handle whatever the issue is in our own way and timing. In other words, we take back the matter into our own hands and leave God out of the answer. "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." This is the man who's fed the word, accepts it, believes, but becomes so enmeshed with the world and its cares. Remember that hallway I was talking to you guys about? It's like the hallway is your relationship with God, but there's so many doors in the corridor that swing wide open. In each room, there's some small theater or movie screen where it's playing some calamity, sickness, terror, injury. And we become impressed by it, and we walk in, and we can stare at it for hours, days, or weeks. These people that have become duped into these rooms, they become more impressed by the world than its cares, or perhaps they put too much faith and attention into this world's fleeting pleasures that they don't cultivate the relationship with God, and their faith in the word stagnates, and they don't reap any benefits. And finally, he says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here Jesus is describing the faithful listener, the one who seeks and strives to have a deep faith and understanding of the word and all it provides. And because in the time of trouble, the listener holds fast to the word and does not buckle or does not run back to his or her own understanding of things, but clings to what God has promised to those who are faithful, then those are the ones that produce a host of these seedlings. The seed takes hold. It is grown in good and receptive soil, and it germinates and grows and breaks through the ground. And the growth produced is different for everyone, depending on his or her desire for it. You know, we all know others whose harvest is less than our own, or those with a greater harvest. And then there's those teachers among us who seem to have it all down already. instead of getting disheartened, I view those ahead of me on the path as light bearers, you know. Those are the ones that are lighting the way for me, showing me how to become better and more suitable soil for the seed or word of God. I'm actually grateful to them because without their sharing and explaining of the word or breaking bread with us, we would not have much of the seed we have to sow now. So the importance is on the type of soil, right? So how do we cultivate good soil? Well, we need to hear and read and receive the word or teachings to obtain the seed, right? And then next, we need to have faith that what we read is the truth, that the promises in the Bible are real and apply to us. We need to have a strong desire for growth in this truth, to want to be healed and transformed by it, so that we can know the fruits of the Spirit. You've really got to want it. And finally, you need to be strong and have courage so that at the first sight of trouble or unbelief or life's stressful situations, you don't throw your hands up and start entertaining those fearful and doubting thoughts. It's right then and there, when the serpent starts on you, that's when you have your choice to make. You can listen to it, buy into its garbage, and allow the sun to scorch your new seedlings, or you can recognize immediately what's taking place. It's simply mortal mind trying to sabotage your new growth. And you can dismiss it with an abiding conviction that surely the creator of this universe, your loving Father, Mother, God, will deliver on its promises to you. This decision to stand on the side of truth and the Word of God in the face of obstacles and challenges is the difference between protecting your new harvest and allowing the fowls in the air to pluck it out. So once you've cultivated new growth, what next? It's necessary to both protect it and nourish it in order to reap the harvest. As it grows, there are all sorts of influences that will come against you in order to prevent you from reaping what you've sowed. There are naysayers in your circle of friends and family even that will try and discourage you from sticking to your harvest. There will be events and new circumstances that will fight for your time and attention to get you distracted or believing there simply isn't enough time, money, you fill in the blank, to maintain your harvest. So while you're off doing whatever it is that you've come to believe is more important than cultivating your crops, they die from exposure or lack of water and wither away. Or perhaps somebody else comes in and tries to take your crops or claim them for themselves. We must be diligent, watchful, sober, and vigilant to protect what we are growing in order that it remains healthy and strong, vibrant, and productive. In addition to protecting, we also must nurture it. You have to tend to the seedlings. This requires us to continue in the Word. We must surround ourselves with like-minded thinkers and believers who will support us and watch with us to lovingly remind us of what is important and when we start to backslide. We need our alone time with God and in the Scriptures, and we need to pray and be mindful and truly grateful for the blessings and harvest that we already possess. These acts are the same as watering our seedlings and feeding them Miracle-Grow. You will soon see the payoff after tending to and protecting your seedlings. They will grow and produce in the direct relation to the effort you put into them. So when growing new crops, there are also weeds that inevitably appear also. You've got to be able to identify and pull weeds so that they pull out the new growth. These weeds are greed, lust, envy, hatred, unforgiveness, selfishness, idolatry, and so on. The more obvious ones can be pulled out early, and the ones that are unidentifiable at the present moment are usually those issues that lay buried within our consciousness, perhaps things that linger from childhood that will continue on with us. But as we progress, we will become more and more they will become more and more obvious because they're not going to bear fruit. Their character will become clear as they attempt to blend in with the other healthy growth, but cannot do so any longer because their darkness and dysfunction are starkly contrasted next to the light and love of the real growth. You'll know it. You'll know when it's time to weed out those darker and unfruitful weeds. When we stay faithful and watchful and tend to the spiritual growth, you're going to be amazed at some of the quick results that you experience. And it's always exciting to see the new growth because it's proof of progress. We smile. I mean, we're encouraged by it. We know we're doing something right, that we're on the right track, and our faith is paying off. But we also must be patient to realize a full harvest. The seedlings aren't enough. Some growth takes time, and we can be comforted that God knows exactly what we need and will unfold this growth in His perfect timing. Another favorite quote of mine by Mrs. Eddy in Science and Health states, "Spirit, God, gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts, even as He opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear." So as we do our part, He will unfold and disclose to us the truths we need just at the right time. And it will all make sense to us and how to use those truths He imparts. He loves us so much. I just wish we would all know and count on this great love. You know, He has us. He provides for us. He guides and guards us. And He knows right where you are in life and what you need. And He's taking care of us every step of the way. The only thing we need to concern ourselves about is whether, are we focused on Him or on the world? And where your focus is determines the type of soil you are for the word or the seed to enter in. Be not worldly minded, but focus on Him. Now I want to give you a gardener's secret. It's like a recipe for super soil. It's guaranteed fastest way to grow crops that are sturdy, healthy, and produce the most. It is to empty the soil of fear. Recall that fear is the source of all discord, whether it be sickness, disease, sin, or death. If you can rid the soil of all fear, there is not a single plant, flower, or purpose that you could not grow successfully. Let's turn to 2 Kings 4, where we read about a Shunammite woman. She'd given birth to a son, even though her husband was of old age. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out with his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And it goes on to read, "And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay upon his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call the Shunammite.' So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, 'Take up thy son.' Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." Let's look at the text. possessed. If you're not, there was famine in time, and food was scarce. And this woman had seen that Elisha had walked her home on regular intervals, and she had spoken to her husband, and she convinced him to create a small living quarters for this man so that when he would walk by, he could stop in and rest, and she would leave him something to eat for his travels. So just from there, we know that she's perceptive. She doesn't really know this man, but she can tell that this is a man of God, and she's watchful. She's been looking for this man and notices that, you know, it's regular intervals that she's coming by. So she's perceptive and watchful. And we know that she had great love for her son. I mean, her son dies in her lap. So can you imagine? I mean, I'm a mom. Mary Baker Eddy talks about how an emotionally healthy mother's love for her children is the closest earthly experience we can have to God's great love for us, because it's unconditional, instantly forgiving, and just surpasses any man-made barriers. I mean, the mother love is just the closest thing we'll humanly experience to the divine love. So you can imagine, you know, how does this mom feel when her son dies while she's holding him and he's in pain? But in that moment, when the boy dies, she doesn't go and sing or begin wailing uncontrollably, but she runs to find Elisha. And when her husband questions why she's leaving, she responds, "It shall be well." I was so blown away when I first read the story. I'm thinking, in the very face of all the material evidence that her son has just died, she's declaring, "It shall be well." She has more faith and belief in God than the evidence of material evidences. She rushes forth and finds Elisha and declares again when he asks her if she's okay and if the child's okay. She responds, "It is well." She is firmly declaring and clinging to what she knows and to her faith. You know, I'd say 99.9 of us would never get this far. We'd be so mesmerized by the material picture and succumb to emotional despair. You know, this has got to be gut-wrenching. But she knows. She knows something. She knows that Elisha can heal her son because he is a man of God. She doesn't fully understand or comprehend, but she has faith, and she's leaning on that faith with all that she has. And we know that this faith was rewarded as Elisha raises her son from the dead. If you read the full account, you will see that this woman still had some fear and doubt, but that her faith and steadfast clinging to her understanding of God had removed enough fear from her that she was able to react and declare that it is well. She knows and knew that with God, all is well. And this understanding is what we need in order to remove the fear from our mental soil. Whatever our issue is, it's clearing away the mud and dirt from that window pane that is the only thing in between us and our clear perception of who we are as the children of God. As this mud and gunk is removed, or as the fear is removed from our consciousness, we realize who and what we are. And this understanding, or the Christ truth that comes to our consciousness, is what does the healing work. We need to remember that whatever the issue is that's facing us today, we're not working to pray to fix a broken or situation or a sick man. We are simply praying so that the lie that is trying to attach itself to the child of God is exposed and removed. Healing is not changing anything. Healing is revealing the truth that's already there. So the Shunammite woman is an excellent and clear example of not being mesmerized by the dream or the false evidence before the physical senses, and having faith in what the Bible tells us about our unbreakable bond and inseparability from our Creator. We're truly at one with Him. He is our very life, and nothing and nobody and no condition can separate you from him. So to summarize, we must prepare ourselves to be rich, deep, and healthy soil for the seed or word of God. The seed is present, and we take it in and produce a harvest in direct proportion to the quality of our readiness, faithfulness, and strength or courage. And once that seed takes root, we need to nurture and protect that new growth, as the enemy will surely come to test it out and try to snatch it away from you. But once we've protected it and continue to nurture it, all those promises in the Bible are your great harvest. You will grow in peace, joy, progress, harmony, abundance, health, harmonious relationships, rich and rewarding life, purpose, and much more. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. They're worth far more than gold or silver or any other temporary material pleasures that the world attempts to convince us is true treasure. So if we're not seeing a good harvest in our lives, or we have one, but it is not producing the way we want it to, the answer again lies within yourself. Pull out the obvious weeds. Tend to your walk with God. Simply be love, see love, do love, and watch the beautiful garden, your life, begin to blossom with beautiful color and form. Until next Friday, everyone, have a beautiful, garden-filled, flower-filled week.
Experience is good when it heightens the appreciation of beauty, augments the moral will, enhances the discernment of truth, enlarges the capacity to love and serve one's fellows, exalts the spiritual ideals, and unifies the supreme human motives of time with the eternal plans of the indwelling adjuster, all of which lead directly to an increased desire to do the Father's will, thereby fostering the divine passion to find God and to be more like Him.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio. And we have the Advocate with Susan Shengazar. Susan, take it away.
Thank you, Maria. And God bless each and every one of you out on our call line, listening audience. And thank you for tuning in each week here on The Advocate. I am Susan Shengazar. Today we have a wonderful woman and her daughter with us today. And before I bring her on, I just wanted to give you some inspiration background of where we're going today with the show. And each time we have a show, I try to look at what we're dealing with and our subject matter. And today I was looking on the website for our Lindsay McGraw that we're bringing on the show today. And she had a profound statement that I'm going to read you, and then that's going to take us to some scriptures in the Word before we bring her on. It says, here's the deal. If I make a promise to you, if I say I will do something and I don't, call me on it. When you say I want to help, I want to take you at your word and count on you, please don't utter words that you don't intend to keep. Does this make you feel good to say you help people or actually help people? Things that make you go, hmm. And the scripture she has is integrity. He who walks in integrity walks securely, and that's in Proverbs. So it's just taking a look at some scriptures. And Song of Solomon wrote these Proverbs, and in chapter 10 he says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. Treasures of the wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers us from death. And then it says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is everlasting a foundation. As vinegar is to teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth the days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall fall and be to those workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom,
but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speak frowardness. And so for those of you who are out there saying you're going to do something, don't say it unless you're going to do it. And that is about what we're going to bring on the show today, a woman who is out there not only saying she's going to do something, she's doing it, and she's bringing with her men and women from everywhere who are supporting this campaign, and it's amazing. And so today I bring on the show Wendy McGraw and her daughter, Aria, and they are in this amazing campaign that's called X'd Out. So, Lindsay, why don't you come on the show and talk about this amazing campaign and give us some insight on what led you to start this?
Well, I have... Hi, everybody. The opening of your radio show was so soothing. I'm in such a great place right now, so thank you for that. I have found an amazing partner, and he's got great insight and vision, and he, I believe, didn't know anything about human trafficking or sex slavery here in America, but we found each other and agreed to work together, and so that's been a blessing in of itself. And that's Jeff Monteith with Third Echelon Investigations. And he's just been a huge cheerleader for this cause and wants to do what he can to help with sex slavery here in America. And he came to me one day and said, we need to do this campaign and really get America's attention. And so that's how the X'd Out campaign came about. And twice a month, we open up a beautiful venue at either a photographer's studio. We happened to be at a club on Sunset Boulevard last night. And what we do is invite the community to come and participate and pose in a defensive position with their arms above their head, and we write on their arms, "Stop rape and torture of our children." And right now, the conversation here in America and California is human trafficking. And to me, it's such a vague concept, and I don't think people really understand the depth of it. And of course, it spans a lot of different areas, but for my daughter and myself, our heart is in sex slavery here, and more importantly, the children, the young girls that are, being abducted and kidnapped and taken off the streets by gangs and pimps, and they are put out on the street for sale over and over again, night after night. And so our heart and our fight is for these victims. So the X'd Out campaign brings an awareness to what's happening right here in our own backyards, in our communities, in Los Angeles, in Toluca Lake, in everywhere.
And I'd like to segue into that. This is Aria, and thank you again for having us on. A couple years ago, and this kind of segues into what Lindsay just tapped into, collaborating with 3EI and starting the X'd Out campaign. A couple years ago, we decided to do a project together, and we dabbled around on what exactly we wanted to do, and somehow we happened upon human trafficking, and that was because of Lindsay's interest in it and just really wanting to make meaningful media and use the medium of television and film to not just make projects that are disposable, but something that it can bring an awareness and educate the audience as well as entertain them. And somehow it morphed into what it is now, and part of that was Lindsay's wanting to keep her integrity in doing things that, again, have meaning. And she said, I don't want to create a fictional show where we are pretending that we're saving these children, where we are exploiting and exposing this horrific crime but not doing anything about it. So she said, let's make something where we're actually getting these girls off the streets. Because there are so many films and there are so many organizations that are out there, but they're not really doing much. And so that was Lindsay's intention, that whatever we do do, we do something. And so, again, that's how the campaign really started, was doing something integrous and something meaningful.
Now, Aria, you're Aria London, right?
Yes.
And you're Lindsay's daughter?
Yes.
Yes. And you both are actresses, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
We do everything. More like traveling gypsies.
I love it that you both have a passion for this. And when I came to the photo shoot, it was so loving to see people from all walks of life just standing up for this cause. And on the arms of each person, it says, stop rape and torture of our children. And, you know, the word stop, when you look it up in the dictionary, it says, put an end to the progress, movement, or operation, to cease moving, acting, discontinue. And then the other word is abolish, to do away with, put an end, annul, destroy. And that's what I see you guys putting out there, this message to stop. It is not okay. And it's so profound to see each photograph, and the meaning behind it is intense. And I so admire what you're doing. And when I came in with my good friend Charles, who's also a writer, he wanted to do this, and he was so excited. And to see men get excited about this is a big deal, because often it's a man who's a perpetrator, although women are perpetrators too. And men have taken the heat for this for years, until we found out women were on the front lines of this also. But your message is going rapidly through Los Angeles area. And I feel like on this show, we've joined hands with women and men all over the world who are doing just the same kinds of things. And so I commend you both. And as a mother-daughter team, it's powerful. And so where is your next photo shoot going to be? Do you have a location yet?
Oh, yes. We are taking this to Venice Boardwalk, to the Venice Beach Boardwalk on June 16th. Our photo shoots are usually in the afternoon, and they're usually 3 or 4 hours. We're going to be down on the boardwalk from 9 until 5, until they kick us out. So our intention is to be in an area where there's a large group of people gathering. There are people from all over the world that come there. And we're really excited to see the kind of response and participation we get. Instead of, you know, being in a photography studio and having people come to us, we're taking it out on the streets, basically to the world, because Venice Beach, you know.
It's a great place to reach a general audience and the general public. We've had some wonderful supporters behind us so far, some celebrities like Wendy Malick and NBC News came out and covered our last event at Smashbox Studios. But it's important for us to have the general public become aware of what exactly we're doing, because it's going to take them and their voices and the community and the neighborhood for us to all come together and end this. It's not a celebrity. It's not you know, legislations are passed because people speak, and people won't speak up unless they're educated and they know. And just as it takes a village to raise a child, it's going to take a community and a village to save a child. So before we can actually go out there and get these girls or boys out of these horrific circumstances that they're in, we need to educate the general public. And so Venice is a great way to do that because there's so many wonderful, cool people out there, and that's what we hope to do. But for any of our coming events, even aside from the one that's coming up in Venice, they're all posted on our website, which is www.xd/OUT.com.
Now, Venice Beach is a huge deal. You realize putting it out on the streets in public, the amount of people walking by that could be a perpetrator is going to be phenomenal. So I'm hoping I can be there because this is going to be good. Because God's way of bringing this to an end is to take people like you and me who have been through an experience that was not good, but it raised us to be who we are today. And I'll tell you what, this kind of force is unstoppable. And so being on the front lines in public, out in the open, I am so curious the response that we're going to be seeing this day. And I know it's going to be huge. And I'm just thankful that you guys have come out with this. So many people are behind closed doors, hidden, like the girls in Ohio that were found. Mm-hmm. And I personally am one of God's prayer warriors who have been praying for these people who are still alive and are chained and bound. And I believe that more prayer warriors are coming forward and that people are being released. And we have to keep praying for their healing because it is demonstrative what has happened to them. And it's not just enough to get them freed. We need people who are skilled in the ability to help them heal these wounds that are life-changing. But I know with God's help, it can be done. And so I see on, Lindsay, your little caption says that you are a survivor yourself of a sexual predator, as myself also, and so many who've come on the show. And it is not a victim mentality that we carry. And I see that in you. Your head is right standing up, and you are proud to be who you are. And as I am, too, I am affected by what happened to me to the point where I am proactive helping someone else, because I see it. Any perpetrator walks by me, I see that in them, and it frightens them more than it amazes me. Do you find that you notice that also?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And a couple of things. Our greatest gift as survivors is self-identification. And what part of the awareness that we do need to get out into the communities, and especially the girls and the men and the boys that are victimized right now, is that they can put a name to what it is that they're going through. And it's a process. But if they can say, I am a victim of sex slavery, I am a victim of human trafficking, I am a victim, all my rights have been taken away. So if we can, for us as survivors to be transparent and to be able to talk about it from a powerful place, we can empower, others as well to go, wait, that's me. And I just want to share real quickly, because this has been like my most amazing acknowledgement to date. Because I announced on my Facebook page, I love Facebook, that I finally identified my dad as a John. Like, I've called him a lot of things. There's a lot of things that he did. And I was out on the tracks last Friday, and I'm looking at the men that are picking up these girls and circling the tracks, and some of them are 60, some of them are 50, 20. And I was like, these are somebody's husbands and boyfriends and somebody's dad. And it was in that moment that it just clicked for me that this was my dad. And I shared that on Facebook, and a few days later, a man that I've been working with on some projects shared with me in private that he didn't know he was a John, and that he contributed to this crime against our women and children. And he confessed to me and made a promise that he was never going to do it again. And it was only because he was able to give. And he knew he was in shame of what he was doing. It was a dark part of his life. That he knew. But he didn't know the effect that he was having on these girls or women that he, was buying. And what brought them to the streets in the first place. Not everybody is abducted and trafficked or the slave. There are a lot of women that choose that life. But, so he was able to say, wow, I didn't know that's what I was and how I played into this crime. And it stops here, basically.
That is so huge.
Yes.
That is so huge. It's almost like I could see you and your daughter creating a screenplay with that very act happening.
I love that.
I mean, it was just so profound. The movie was playing in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh. And how he felt so comfortable to share that with you. It's forgiveness. And this is a big deal because we're able to bring them to their knees and turn them over to God to take care of them because it can't continue. And I'm so thankful. One of my friends, when I was a teenager, we had been hitchhiking. I grew up in Santa Cruz. And we got in the car with someone, and I ended up almost being sold for white slavery. And I thank God that she wrote down the license plate of the car, or I would be just one of those girls gone.
Wow.
And so many of us have had similar situations where in the blink of an eye it could have happened. Mm-hmm. And this is what goes on every day. I'm on my way driving to work, and I am almost to a stoplight, and I see a little girl walking in a car pull over, and he's trying to get her in the car. And I lay on my horn and pull up, and the guy takes off, but I got every license plate number except one. And then the little girl, I had her call the police when she got to school, and then I called the police, and they picked this guy up. Because everybody has to have eyes. And she was the cutest little 9-year-old girl on her way to school, had just left her parents' house. They probably kissed her goodbye thinking she's going to school. And just in the blink of an eye, and this has got to stop. Our country, the United States, we have rules and laws, but these other countries like Brazil and these other areas, kids are just being sold left and right or just, thrown out and taken and raped and beaten, and it's horrific.
And we need to make it our responsibility. I mean, exactly like what you said and exactly what Charles Ramsey did when he heard those girls screaming. I mean, I think a lot of times these girls, they are screaming for our help, and they're screaming for help in the community, but nobody wants to reach out because they don't want to get involved. Or I mean, think about if you didn't pull up to that little girl, what could have happened? We were driving last night, and there was two girls sitting at the park. It was 12 o'clock at night, and my mom said, let's turn around and go see if they're okay. And I'm like, Mom, they're going to think we're creepy. And she's like, well, there's two girls sitting at a park at 12 o'clock at night. We should go and check on them. That's all right. So I was like, okay, and we did, and they were all right. But, I mean, you just never know. And so many people want to turn a blind eye because it doesn't affect them. But really, it does because it could be going on next door. So I think that
was community. These are our, this is our community. And it's like back in the days when people sat out on their porch and they watched each other's kids. You knew your child was being watched if they were playing down the street because the community was out on the street. They were, sitting outside and enjoying the evening. And those days have long gone. And so, yes, it's we have to take back our streets. And we need to bring our children home.
And I really believe it's okay to err in the side of caution. So mm-hmm. many times I pull up and talk to people and I ask them, what are you doing out here? You're dressed in that cute little dress. You're either, you know, wanting to get picked up or you're going to get picked up. And mm-hmm. so our society, the girls are younger and younger every day that are in this prostitution. And the men that are going over to the Philippines are buying 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old, you know, little girls. And they're coming mm-hmm. from the United States. This is not okay.
No.
And I almost feel like they should screen passports and background checks of people entering into some of these countries to make sure they're not a perpetrator. I mean, I don't know the whole, you know, gamut of what goes on once they are flagged and where they can go and travel to, but I know the map is out there. You can get on that map and see who's in your neighborhood, and they're not yes. supposed to be next to parks and children and schools, but our halfway houses are full of them, you know, and I see them in the ER because I'm a nurse, and I also see the victims, and I have done rape exams for years when I was in the Midwest, and it's horrific. 1 in 3 kids are molested or raped, and kids in foster care, you know, these little orphanages, it's not okay, but they are so thankful to have a roof over their heads, and they're told nobody will believe you. You're yes. nothing. And they believe it, and then they grow up staying in that mentality. And so we're here, you and your daughter and other people, to say it's not okay and we're going to do something about it. And so I'm so excited that so many, I look on your website, so many celebrities have come forward. It's almost like they were looking for something they could do that would make a difference. And so I am so excited, the following you have, and I've been looking at it for quite a while now. It's incredible.
It's happening fast, and yeah, we definitely believe the campaign is blessed, and it's always a surprise, it's always a blessing, and we're ready to, you know, meet with some big ad agencies and get the campaign in print, on billboards, and, you know, keep it going. We want to get a million people posing. One of our photographers said that she had no idea it happened in Los Angeles, and now her heart is just so, once you can't turn your back once you know about this crime. And so we, you know, just in one photo shoot, we've touched, you know, 50 people's lives, and they've talked to people about it, and those people have talked to people about it, and that's really what we have to keep doing, in addition, of course, to going out on the street. So we've been having meetings every day. We met with an organization that we hope to partner with for street outreach. There's not a lot of organizations that are going out on the streets here in LA because it's so riddled with gangs, and it's just scaring, you know, these volunteers and these church organizations away. So we have to rally all these amazing organizations together and say, you know, we can do this, and we will protect you and we'll keep you safe while you're out there. And so that's our mission.
Wow. You know, we're going to take a station break and come right back with Lindsay McGraw and her daughter, Aria London. I am the advocate, and we'll see you back here in just a minute.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to The Advocate. I am Susan Shengazar. And for those of you who have just tuned in to The Advocate, we are with Lindsay McGrell and her daughter, Aria London. And she has the campaign X'd out. And before we went to station break, we were talking about there's a few organizations, church groups that are helping with this fight against women and children being picked up with drug trafficking and slavery and this sort of thing. And I know, Lindsay, that the Dream Center is helping with this, and Joyce Meyer Ministry helps with this, and
actually,
a few other ministries.
Susie, let me stop you real quick. What I need is those who are on as your guests, if they have their computer speakers turned up, that is why we're getting a feedback. So what I need is for your guests to turn your computer speakers all the way off so we don't get that feedback. And I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No problem. I want to make sure this message comes through loud and clear, because it is not okay to torture, rape our women, men, and children. So with that, I'm going to bring back Lindsay and Aria to the radio, and we're going to talk more about what we can do as a team to team up with them and hit the streets and help with this cause.
I'm ready. Just when you say that, it just gets me so excited. Because that's really where we're at right now, is getting a team of people. We have an amazing organization, and I say when I say we, I'm talking about our, you know, us as a state, as a up in Oakland, Love Never Fails is a beautiful organization who is going out. Unfortunately, they're only going out about once a month, because they do need funds like all nonprofits do. But they take about 35 people. I'm going to give you the visual, because this is what we need here in Los Angeles and San Bernardino and Compton, in Long Beach and Linwood and Sun Valley. We need this, what I'm just going to describe to you, in every community. And so they gather about 35 volunteers, and they go out on the tracks, which is the location that these girls are being put out and solicited for sale. And the Johns, or the customers, are circling the neighborhood, deciding who they want to talk to and pick up and have a car date. And so this group is going out on the streets. They have a security team standing by for their protection and for the extraction of the young victim when she says, I'm ready to come off the streets right now. I can't take this anymore. And so that is what we need here, is to have a large group of people. But what we need to do is not go out once a month or once a week. We have to create a system, just like law enforcement runs 24 hours a day. We really need to be available to these girls because there's a very small window of opportunity when they've either been beaten or they've been raped or tortured to the point where they're, you know, they're almost lost their lives, or they just can't take it anymore for whatever reason. They're going to look around, and they need to see that there's somebody there that can rescue them. And if we're not on the streets with them, then this can't happen. And we had an opportunity to interview seven survivors in December, and they all say the same thing. It's that we need to know that there's somebody there when we're ready. And we also, as a community, need to understand it's a process. It takes sometimes years, depending on how long they've been on the street, to really unravel all of the, you know, the mind games and the verbal abuse about they're not enough and nobody loves them. And, you know, that takes years to unravel and unwind all of those messages. So we have to be patient and compassionate as a community. And we need to be there when they really need us.
This is a huge industry. These pimps and the men and even the women that have these individuals
Network.
And human beings out on the streets, the reason it takes some upwards to 35 people to rescue one girl, I mean, you're talking from extracting her out of the situation that she's in all the way to placing her in a home where she belongs. But these individuals are dangerous, and this is their money source. You're taking away their money. So they're going to do whatever they need to do to make sure that you don't take these girls. And if you don't take them in a small time frame that you have, they're going to suffer the consequence, and they know that. Lindsay spoke with a woman who had her arm decapitated. Same incident with the girls that were captured. The one was made an example of for the other two girls, and she was kicked in the stomach and hit, you know, just to kind of threaten the others on what would happen if they tried to escape. These girls have cigarettes put out on them. They're burnt. Some of them are killed just so that they can set an example for the rest of their ring. To just basically, you know, don't mess with us. You are our livelihood, and we will do whatever we can to keep you on the tracks because there's a lot of money. I mean, you can sell a drug once. You can sell a gun once or twice. You can sell a person over and over and over again. It's surpassing guns. It's surpassing drugs. It is a huge industry.
Criminal enterprise.
I do know that if we are a city that elects officials that say they're going to do something about something, and I was disappointed that Wendy did not come in as our mayor, but I do want to say I'm going to hold the new one accountable because we need to have this up on billboards and not just in one little city, but completely encircling all of Los Angeles County and the bordering coming in, and at least take a community at a time, because this is not something that we should have to raise funds for to get. This should be a community that is coming on board with people willing to do this. And you guys are here, and you're bringing, you know, a force with you. We need to storm City Hall with this and say, hey, we're ready. And they need to stop taking kickbacks if that's what they're getting. Otherwise, why wouldn't they put these posters up? So let's do it.
Right.
Let's get them on the, you know, up on these billboards.
You know I'm going to call you tomorrow and set a time to do that, don't you?
Of course. I'm here. Because I know, listen, I know Wendy was so involved, and she loves Safe Passage, the board I'm on, Safe Passage, that helps restore these women after they're out of the abuse.
Yeah.
And we have so many people with crime survivors, and our producer of the show, Maria, we are on the front lines doing this. And so to see an active group of people like you are, there's no way this is going to stop. And so
I say let's just move ahead and bring everybody on board. And so I'll be right there with you. I have a voice, and it's not going to stop. God gave me this voice. I was abused too much.
Yay!
You know, also,
well, we have a long way to go, and there's a lot to be done. But taking in consideration what Martin Luther King said, or Martin Luther King Jr., when he was fighting for the rights of equality among people, it's basically that it might not happen in this generation, or I'll just take the words from him, we may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that as people, we will get to the promised land. And I'm not worried about anything because I'm not a fearing man. So as long as we continue to walk forward and educate everybody and collectively come together, eventually we will get there.
Well, if you think about, we're in 2013 and how far we've come. We have the internet, and God bless the internet. It's so helpful in so many ways. But if you look at how much pornography and how many people are being sold over the internet, that's not good. I mean, what we were watching on TV with Dateline going in and getting these people who were buying these little, you know, inviting these little 13-year-olds over to have a date with them, I mean, how horrible is that? And so if Dateline could get out there and do that, all we have to do is join hands with the right people. And I know some of these men and women that are coming into your organization, like when I brought Charles, I just called him up and said, hey, the girls that were going to do this photo shoot with me bailed. Do you want to get in on it? He had no idea what I was bringing him to. And he is so excited. He calls me all the time, have you got the photo? Have you got the photo? Because he wants to show everybody at his church. And he is in a church that has full of actors and actresses because he's a writer. He wants to take and help with this. And he was waiting for his photo to do it. And so, I mean, so many people thought we were a couple because we were together. But he's actually a co-writer to a book that we're making into a screenplay. And so he's an amazing man that God just brought into my life, but we're very good friends. But he is one who is going to help you, and he is so excited. And I believe he's going to be a key tool for you. So I know that I'm trying to get the nurses excited about this, and so many people are in their own little space. They don't want to get out of it. What am I going to lose if I get involved? You know, it's just so sad, but I know you guys coming out June 16th down at Venice Beach on the boardwalk from 9 to 5 is going to be huge. And so what location on the boardwalk are you guys going to be?
We're aiming for, because it's very random. You know, you have to get there, and we want to be in one of the, you know, just the open spaces where all the other artists are, basically. And so we're going to go down there.
Are you going to have a canopy?
Yes, canopy.
Okay.
And we're going to have, you know, women and children and families, you know, handing out flyers. And, you know, even if they don't come over and take a photo, they're going to have something in their hand. And so it is going to be very, very powerful. And
so do you have anybody playing music there or anything?
It's Venice Beach. There's so much going on.
I mean, I think we have it's a very small area. You know, I think we get a canopy. I mean, we can either, you know, set up a table and tell fortunes, or, you know what I mean? It's small. It's a small space. So, So I don't know. I mean, we could take over and bring a band and set up a stage. I don't know how long they'll let us stay there, but I like where you're going with this, Susan.
We want to keep people to come over, not chase them away.
No.
No, you won't chase them away. What, you know, they come to Venice Beach, and when they have the muscle men and everybody down there, the place is packed. I'm telling you,
yes.
You have a crowd of thousands of people. So I would say, make the best of this and draw them to you more. And so whatever can be done needs to be done. This is a huge opportunity here.
Yes, we were down there and scouting it, and we see the people that draw the attention, and so we just need to be loud and, you know, gather a crowd and just do something that's going to get people to come over. And so we're planning that all out. We'll have fun with it. We have fun. You have to have levity in the subject matter, and, you know, we're just very passionate as well. So we will definitely brainstorm with you, and we'll map it all out and see what other ideas you have. That'll be wonderful.
Well, I know having your beautiful daughter there is going to draw a crowd because she's so
thank you. I was gonna set my mother on fire or have a backflip something.
It's just too bad that we can have Dama Tequila out in public, you know. And
yes.
Yeah, selling alcohol won't work. Or giving it away for free. Do you have a celebrity that you have in mind to be there?
Well, Angelica Houston does live right there. So we definitely want to let her know that we're going to be there. I'm pretty sure she still lives right there, right on the boardwalk, or right off of it. She's got a gorgeous property. No, we're still in the early stages. Our goal for our organization, our logo is pink. It's very feminine, and it's about, young girls. It's to get a lot of the very new starlets, 20-year-old, A-list actresses to be a voice. Beyond my, what I believe in my heart is needed is to have female first responders. We love the men that stand with us on this. It is extremely powerful. And these girls need really strong female role models and people, girls that they can look up to and say, I see a vision for myself in you. I've always wanted to be a dancer, or I've always wanted to, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be an actor. But, yes, we do want very strong, female role models. So we're still working that out as far as who.
Well, and I know their security thing with the paparazzi and having, be stormed by all these people could be their reason they may not want to come out. But I know that having somebody would really be helpful.
Oh, yes.
We're still looking for a really good PR company to come behind us. The celebrities that we have had thus far were gifts from God. And as you know, having somebody with such a recognizable face in the community does really help garner the attention that we would love to have. But right now, everything that we've had thus far has been a blessing, and anything beyond that would probably come from a really great PR firm, which we are actively seeking out at the moment. So unless someone just walks up and says that they're coming, we don't have anybody that for the next few ones.
We have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We have 2 weeks.
And so for those who've just come on the line listening, why don't you put out your website for them and the places they can go to find you and get on board with this amazing photo shoot and campaign, X'd Out.
The X'd Out campaign can be found at www.xd-out.com. And when you go to the website, you'll see our 4 photo shoots that we have up so far and all the amazing people that have come out and posed. And they've also shared why they pose, and we have survivors. We have men whose women in their lives have been affected by sexual abuse, or we have families and children and dads, and it's wonderful. So, yes, www.xd-out.com.
And our Facebook page
is... It's on automatic. I don't even know.
I know. I'm looking at it myself. Let's see.
And then our third echelon investigation, Operation Rescue Human Trafficking Task Force, and that's 3EIORHTTF.
Yeah, so that would be facebook.com/3EIORHTTF. Now, about the third echelon investigation, these are true stories. None of this is made up, right?
The stories of why they posed, or when you say third, what are you talking about?
What, the third echelon. Is this part of a movie set?
No. Jeff Monteith is the CEO, and he has been serving our community here in California for over 15, 16 years. He's a high-profile security officer, and he works works a lot with the celebrities here in Hollywood. He does a lot of security for high-profile protection for celebrities here in Hollywood, and he does have offices in London and in Germany and in a few states here in the United States. And he's a fugitive recovery agent, private investigator, bounty hunter, and he gets calls daily on, can you please follow my cheating husband or my cheating wife, or, he's done a few child rescue in Spain and in Japan. Those are very extensive. But he's just a sweetheart. He's got a great heart, and he's a really rough, maverick kind of guy, and women just love him. I mean, because he's just got that side to him that's very unique. So we think the world of him.
Now, how much is this photo shoot donation for people on the 16th?
To come out and pose with us, we ask for a donation of $30 for an individual. And if you want to come with your family or a friend or a group, then we ask for $20 per person donation. And if you're a student, we ask for a $15 donation. And it's quite a lengthy process, if you can imagine. First of all, we have extraordinary talented photographers that lend their talent and their time. And then we take the photographs, we select them, then they're edited, we add our logo to them, then they're uploaded with the story on the website. So, there's definitely a lot of volunteers that put a lot of time into processing these campaign photo shoots. So, and the money that we raise does go to providing street outreach so that we can provide security free of charge to the nonprofit organizations that are doing street outreach so that we can keep them safe while they're doing their work, and also to continue our campaign so that we can start taking it into other cities and other states.
So on this canopy that you have, do you have posters that are you going to have hanging so people can see what's going on inside to draw them?
It'll be great to, some of the venues that we envision a crowd gathering around us, just waiting to come in and take a picture. So, you said music. I definitely think we need to have something there that's, upbeat and definitely draws attention. But we're going to have some great people out there that make sure we don't miss one person that goes by. And we did a rally, my daughter and I and some wonderful friends last year for we were doing a protest, and we just walked through the streets of Toluca Lake and handed out flyers and talked to people. We specifically picked a street that had outside dining where people are, you know, sitting outside that we could, you know, talk to them. And it was so much fun. The camaraderie of, you know, being with a group of people and know that you're doing something wonderful. It's like, I don't know what better way to spend a day. I mean, there's lots of great things to do. But that there's just something so rewarding, you know, when you're with a group of people and you guys are all, you know, sharing a message and talking to people about something that's really important. There's just nothing like it. Nothing like it.
It is an attention getter for sure. And this paint does wash off. And some of my coworkers, I showed them the picture and they've just looked at me weird, like, why did you do that? And it's so funny to see people's expressions. And they know I'm always into doing something out in public. But I'll tell you what, it is not to get a pat on the back. This is hard work. You guys are working hard. And this is something that you've dedicated your life to do. And the same with me. I have gone around speaking about domestic violence of women and children, and it is not okay. I've gone to prisons and spoke, and it's a very powerful message when you can reach the heart of someone that's hurting because they haven't forgiven themselves for what they did. And so that's a big deal, and God has put it on our hearts to do this work. So we need the people to help us do it. And I just wanted to put out on the air before we wrap up here, there's a very powerful book. It's called Prayers That Rout Demons. And this is a book that if you've never learned how to pray in your life, reading this book is going to help you see just how to pray and what you're praying for. And it's written by John Eckhart. He's in Chicago. But this book has really changed my life in how I pray specifically for something. And God has given us the keys to bind and loose. And Satan has no authority on this earth as long as we bind him. So I'm just putting it out there that we need to take our eyes off of what the enemy is doing and watch what God is doing, because God is giving us angels like Lindsay and Aria, myself, Maria, the Trish Steeles and Linda Dolphins out there, and all the other men and women who are standing up for this cause against our women and men and children. And nobody should walk around wounded for the rest of their lives. So for those listening on the air, God bless you for tuning into our show, and give it to someone to listen to in the archives and pass a message on. Go to their websites, go to our websites, and find out what's out there and who's on the front lines helping our children, men, and women in the world. And I just want to say for those listening, tuning in, Lindsay McGraw, she's a survivor and a victorious woman on the front lines, and her daughter, Aria London. Stay tuned for more information from them June 16th at Venice Beach from 9 to 5 on the boardwalk there. Look for them. And I just thank you, both of you, for being on our show today. And we will definitely have you come back and continue taking hands with you, anything I can do to help. And I just, again, can't thank you enough. And all the people who are helping, any of them want to come on the show and share their message, have them give me a call. And you've been listening to Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. And each week I will bring to you another fabulous, amazing man or woman who's standing with God to take this fight against domestic and sexual abuse of women and children. God bless you. See you next week.
Somehow forgotten that you have faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again He'll take care of you, and He'll do it again. Oh yes, He can do it again. If you would just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, well, hasn't He always come through for you? Oh, He's the same now as then.
Don't you know God has not changed?
Oh, you may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do. God knows the things that you're going through, and He knows how you're hurting. You see, He knows just how your heart has been broken too. For He's the God of the stars and of the sun and of the sand, and He is your Father. You see, He can calm the storms. He'll find some way to fix this for you. And He'll do it again. Oh, yes, He can do it again.
He'll do it again.
If you would just take a look.
Hasn't
He always
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Thursday. I want to send out a special thank you real quick to Tammy Arnhem, who is one of our brand new music sponsors. And without our sponsors, we couldn't have this show to produce. So thank you for joining us here on Soul Sister Radio. And I want to welcome you to Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Becky, are you there?
I am. And thank you, Tammy, for being one of our sponsors. This is fantastic. We need to go and plug this. I love embracing, encouraging, and thanking these mighty fine women, men, sponsors that are contributing to something that's so wonderful to expand God's kingdom.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's fun. So how are you?
Say that one more time.
How are you doing? How is Atlanta? And I'm excited for your show today, so go ahead.
Well, Atlanta has been full of allergies. I think I'm going to have to go and up my vitamins and everything else. I started doing that organic vegan stuff, and that doesn't work. So for all those vegans out there, it doesn't work for me. I need steak. And so I'm going to have to go and come up with something else. And outside of that, I've been pushed to do a lot of work, and I do online marketing, and that's why we have Women on the Edge, and it's on the edge of technology, it's on the edge of the internet, it's embracing each other so that we can communicate like right now on the radio with a virtual community around the world, possibly outer space. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to laugh there. Thank you. It was delayed, but I appreciate it. It has been nuts. I probably have only had, I'd be happy to say if in the past week I've had 8 hours of sleep, but Google had gone through an update and a massive one, and they basically cleaned out a lot of websites. They say that they only affected 3% of the English language websites.
What do they do? They go and eliminate them?
They eliminate them completely. And some of them are really good sites.
How do they have that permission to do that?
Google can do whatever they want. Google is more of a government authority than the government. I don't know. At least down here. And there's a couple sites that, okay, maybe they were affiliates that I had. Maybe they were kind of spammy, but I also do full business websites, and they went after the links. And for the past 15 years of online, it's been all about the links that go to your site, that your site also has the content. But like how the link might go click here and somebody clicks on that link, what the text says is what Google starts ranking you by. More than probably half of their algorithm is on the links. And what they just annihilated was repetitive keyword terms. So if I wanted costumes, Halloween costumes, to go to my MrCostumes.com site, mm-hmm. They're giving us a penalty for too many links with the same terms. Now, luckily, the corporate sites are all good. They're even doing better, so I'm happy those other spammers are gone. But some of the little sites that haven't had enough links right now, or they were going after some branded terms, they're hurting. So I've been staying up trying to help them get back up, because when a site's reliant on getting people to buy their baseballs or sign up for certain events,
you go from 1,000 people hitting your site a week to 5, you're hurting. And in these times, some of these sites were not spammy. So outside of that one, I've been looking up trends. We have kind of another sad story, and we have Carlos coming on about online dating again. Mm-hmm. He was here last week about certifiedcandidates.com.
Yes.
And online security. And why he is there is a murder investigation going on right now. It's trending in top news. So if you go to Yahoo right now, you'll see that a girl back in May 15th.
I read about her.
You did?
Yeah.
This is sick. She actually thought,
right?
Well, what do you know about it so far?
Well, that this guy, is it the same one? The guy kind of kidnapped her thinking that he was going to be the hero?
Yes! How sick is this?
No, yeah, that's crazy. Go ahead, talk.
So, we're talking about Kyle, and I'm going to say his name, Dube.
Oh, my gosh.
He ended up stalking a 15-year-old that he felt that he didn't have much of a connection with from what the media sites are reporting. And he basically stole another person's ID and pretended to be one of her Facebook friends, whom she didn't really know well. And Carlos is going to come on about safety and everything else. I don't want to go into that too much. But sadly, she went outside to get marijuana from a Facebook friend. He jumped her with a ski mask on from one of the bushes, threw her in the car, duct taped her, and by the time he got to the destination, she was dead. And we lost a 15-year-old. We're about to lose a kid who, I guess, wanted to always be a hero of some sort. And instead of looking for God or trying to be a military soldier or a person that might have had an opportunity to save other people, we have a 20-year-old now going probably to jail for life. So
right.
All these families are destroyed from some sickness. Is Carlos even around? Can we bring him on? Or,
I'm here.
Hey, Carlos. We're talking about some Facebook tips. Were you able to look at or hear about this teen that was allegedly killed?
No, I actually missed that story. I was actually looking for it while you were talking, and I don't see it. I don't know about that one.
Well, it was put on, I guess, this morning on Good Morning America, but then it hit like Fox, ABC, and it's trending.
The victim's name is Nicole Klein, I think, something like that. And I'm sorry, Nicole Cable is the victim's name. And his name, the perpetrator, is Kyle Dube, D-U-B-E. If it's Dube, it could be Dube.
And Bangor, Maine. I mean, like.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking way up in the corner of the country.
Wow.
And
yeah, I see the story now.
The one who ended
okay,
up going out there and saying he wanted to be a hero.
Here's my question about this. Is they're going to investigate Facebook because this guy used somebody else's name to open up this Facebook account. Now, there is really no safe precautions. Anybody can open up a Facebook and say anybody, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Actually, anybody can say that they're anyone they want on Facebook or any other social media because there's absolutely no checks and balances done by Facebook themselves to make sure that these people are telling the truth or that they are that they say they are.
Well,
absolutely.
What do you think the ramifications are going to be for Facebook because of this particular case now? There's going to be some precedent that's going to be set here.
Well, can I answer a little bit?
Sure.
Back in the fall, I had to be part of a cyberbullying case. Facebook has an area on safety. They have an area for parents to go into. Marie and I think even had a show on any officer with their badge can go in there and write their badge number, their information, I guess maybe an email that's verified, and they can get all the data on any given person that they want, which kind of scares me. Because we, you know, who knows what the cop's true intention is, but okay, we're going to just say that all the cops that are going in there have honorable intentions. Or, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, who's to say that Fred's dad is a cop and he just doesn't go and plug it into CyberTalk somebody on Facebook? But to go into what Facebook's ramifications are, one, Facebook says that their policy is you're supposed to use your real name. Anybody that's out there that has kids, make sure that they're not using their real name. At least put like a fake middle name, put a fake middle name for any adults. And Facebook also says that you're not supposed to do anything fraudulent. You're not supposed to be friends with somebody that you haven't physically met. If you are friends with somebody you haven't physically met, known, it's not Facebook's problem. As much as we want to go and say we wish that they would check this stuff, they have, I don't know, 300 million active users per week.
I mean, it's really just a platform. So, but I have a feeling it's going to turn out to be something nasty.
Well, nobody
is over 18. So the 15-year-old's already in violation. She used, she was friends with somebody that she didn't know well, and they're probably going to go after the fact that she was doing something illegal by wanting marijuana. I really, really wish we had more security. I do feel that there should be something to Facebook, but I don't know. I have no idea. Maria, what would you do if this was, you know, the kid you never had?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, again, when I first started to put myself out there and start talking, you're talking about keeping myself under the umbrella of law enforcement for the last 20-something, almost 30-something years of my life. Even to this day, when you go and you put my driver's license in, it goes straight to the state of California because I'm under the Highway Patrol's umbrella. So I've gone from being in total seclusion because law enforcement does not want to put themselves out there online to being so visible online that I understand this is, it's a crazy place. Do I say the truth? Do I not say the truth? Most people don't know where I physically am, and I don't really make it known where I physically am. But how do you protect if you've got people out there that are going to open themselves up?
Now, Carlos, this is you.
Introduce yourself again. One of the things when you're talking about Facebook or any social media, one thing that was a key that you mentioned as far as Facebook rules are concerned, which nobody abides by this particular rule, but you're supposed to be truly friends with the people that you accept a friend request from on Facebook. You should actually know each other. The problem is that, you know, there's street cred with, you know, the number of friends that you have. And so everybody wants to accept everybody's request. And really, the reality is that if anybody wants to make up a persona, they could do it. Just send a bunch of friend requests out there, and because people want to pump up their friend count, they'll go ahead and accept them. So one of the things you could do to protect yourself is really not just look at who your mutual friends are, but look at that interaction between that person that you might be interested in or who's trying to get your attention and all of your mutual friends. If you don't see a lot of action between them, they're not posting, tagging each other in pictures and you know, comments back and forth, more than likely they're not a very good friend, and I would definitely reach out to my friend that's supposed to be a mutual friend and ask them about that person. And you know, you just, you watch also the statements that are happening, the things that are being said online, and, you know, you'll find out very quickly through the Facebook situation, you know, that, yeah, well, we're mutual friends. I really don't remember who that person is. He was friends with such and such, and he was at such and such party, and so I, sure, I said yes, but I don't really know him. And there's your key right there, that nobody really knows this person. You need to use caution.
I also want to add that there are ways, by being friends, that they can go and figure out your passwords. 60% of all people tend to use their kid, their dog, their spouse name with a number like 01 or their birthday. So they've gone and had people go into the Facebooks just for games to find out if they could figure out the passwords. I have actually done this in my very first try. The person was talking about this one dog. And I went in there and I put 01 with that dog's name, all lowercase, and got in. So I would also strongly suggest that don't be posting things that can give out personal information, especially to finances, to getting into your Facebook. I just randomly picked one of my friends, and I will never tell them who it is. I did end up telling them. But it was so ridiculous. I was like, you're always posting about your dog. So they just posted, let me go and see if this works, and I got in. I don't think that people should be friends with people I haven't met. However, me and my 1,000 closest Facebook friends have not all met physically.
Right.
Carlos, have you met all yours?
I have not met my 800 and some odd friends either. No, not every one of them. Although I am very careful, I will say that for everyone who I respond and accept a friend request, I at least need to know basically who they are, or they have to be mutual friends with a bunch of people that I know, not just one or two. You know, I'm very active in my church, and so, you know, it's difficult for me to just, you know, not accept a friend request. But if I see that, you know, they're friends with the pastors and everybody else, and there's 35 mutual friends, typically I will accept it, but then I'll initiate some communication to try to figure out who they are and figure out that they're legit. Otherwise, I'll immediately unfriend them.
Oh, that's good. It's not so Christian-like, but you know what? It's safety.
Well, really, and you know, those marketing techniques, you can end up with all kinds of pornographic stuff on your wall, on your timeline, because that's their little marketing trick if you're not careful. So I've actually had that happen to a couple friends of mine. So we're all very careful about who we allow to be our friends on Facebook, or they can ruin our testimony pretty quick.
I think that one of the funniest stories I have been told was when my mom had gone into Facebook, and she was so bothered by so many people writing on her wall. And I was like, Mom, nobody's writing on your wall. You have one welcome to Facebook. She goes, no, every time I open it up, all these people are talking. I, you know, she ended up deleting all of her friends down to 3 and caused a controversy when she finally went to a birthday party. So, by the way, I'm happy she had been friends with them for a very long time. But, you know, we need some wisdom. Don't jump into any of these social networks. And, Marie, we wanted to go and hit about the military, and I hate to jump around like this, but Maria and you had both mentioned about the military and sexual harassment, that they were going to be doing something. Which one was it? Somebody had mentioned it
earlier. I did bring that up.
Okay. What were you going to bring up about that one? Because it seemed kind of interesting while I was going through the message.
Well, here's the situation. They have done, well, the government's released a report that, and I don't have it in front of me, but it shows a huge percentage of mostly women in the military are being sexually assaulted by their peers and by their commanders. And it's become a huge problem, so much so that now it's actually trending in the news as well. There was a big statement put out by this current administration that they've made some pretty big changes in how it works to report those types of crimes. But the reality is that there's actually a shockumentary called I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but I'm gonna put it out there anyway because it really shows everything.
No, we might have children.
What's that?
We might have children.
Oh, okay. Well, it's well done, but okay, I understand. Anyway, the big problem obviously is that when you are a victim of that type of an attack, and it's somebody who's responsible to prosecute that very same action, or they're friends with somebody who's responsible to prosecute that, you can't really get anywhere. And that's what women in the military are finding, is that they're really easy prey for these predators that are there, that are part of our own armed forces. And so now they're trying to really make a change with that. But it's a huge, huge problem. You would think it's something, where it's, sort of minor, out there. It happens everywhere, but no, in the military, as it turns out now with the latest reports that were released, it's a big, big problem. So there's a few things, this is for our armed forces, people that are out there, but the Army is posting a lot of things, and the Navy's also got a giant campaign combating this, but there's a number of things you can do to protect yourself when you're in this situation. You just definitely need to be aware. And that's something that I never even knew.
I was just looking at the time. We have like 4 minutes. Is there any way that I could get you to take some of those notes I had seen and we could put them up on the site? Because I wanted to go in last week. It was last week. No, two weeks ago. Yes, and we wanted to hit online dating stuff. And I wanted to go and talk about you and the company and even like what Maria had talked about, her story about meeting somebody that eventually ended up raping her and at least leading us here today. But that is something I wish for other people. Can you explain a little bit more about what you do, what you've been doing, and security with online dating?
Sure. Online, really, it's the best place to do everything. This is where everybody's going now. We do all our banking online. We keep ourselves organized. We do all our communication online with our mobile devices and computers and everything. We find all our products and services. And now what we're finding over the last really 10 years has become very, very popular for online dating. Let's find love online. And much the same as the Facebook, what we just talked about, anytime somebody can create a profile on their own, whether it's in a social media setting like Facebook or a regular online dating site, especially the totally free ones. I always tell everybody, stay away from the free sites because that is just setting yourself up for everybody who wants to scam somebody. They're all on the free sites because they can be there and they don't have to pay for it. What it does is it allows people to, we'll just be polite and say, enhance the truth about themselves. Guys are a little taller and maybe a little skinnier, a little more educated than they really are. And the same with the women. And so what happens is we find this to be a very comfortable and awesome place to go to meet people, but then we're disappointed by, well, you're not exactly who you said you were. And whether it's a little white lie, like, well, I really don't have my master's degree, or whether it's a huge thing, like I just got out of prison and I told you I was in the Peace Corps, right? It could be either one of those. So, a number of things, what we're doing is I opened the first online dating community. We're called CertifiedCandidates.com. This is the only place right now that basically everyone on the site is exactly who they say they are because we have identity screening for everyone. You cannot get past my system without us knowing with a certain modicum of certainty that you are who you say you are. Beyond that, there's other things that we can do to look into people's background, but the bottom line is the way that it works is you sign up and we certify who you are. You request that we certify who you are, and then you get a stamp of approval so that everybody who you meet knows that in these particular areas, of your life that you've asked to be certified, we know that you're true and correct, everything that you've said. So that basically that's how that works.
And can you tell them the nicest thing?
Actually, we're done in 2 seconds, so hurry
all
up.
All of the people can go in there for free. He's going to put up a link because they ended up getting funding to cover this. So if you're thinking of online dating or want to go and date somebody, make sure you go on to Certified Candidates so that you can make sure that you're safe and the person that you're going to meet is what they said they were. And Carlos, thank you so much for coming on. Maria, thank you for being such a blessing and opening this up. And next week I was going to be going into advertising and new ways to make money. I would love to get some sites. Frank is going to be going over 3 websites to improve their ranking and their money-making abilities. So until then, love you all. God be with you and expand his kingdom. This is
Soul Sister Radio.